Welcome to Tesla's Temple to Tech with your host, Mark Alessi. Tune in every Sunday morning from 8:45 to 9 a.m. on 1100 WHLI to learn more about innovation on Long Island through the amazing vision of the Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe.
Hi, this is Lisa Mirabli, and I'm here with Mark Alessi from the Tesla Science Center. Mark's going to be talking to us a little bit today about why the Tesla Science Center is so important to Long Island. It's located out in Shoreham, Wading River, and that's at teslasciencecenter.com for more information. But we're going to talk to Mark Alessi right now. He's going to tell us a little bit about the beginnings of Nikola Tesla and why this is so important to Long Island.
Thanks, Lisa. Really remarkable to be here. And we'd like to thank everybody for joining us and listening in. So I think that this project is one of the most important projects over the next 5-10 years here on Long Island. It celebrates our history. It celebrates our history as an innovation center going back over a century. And it celebrates what we are doing today as a region. And it celebrates the future. And it puts Long Island right in the center of the innovation ecosystem worldwide. So first, I'm going to go about telling you how we saved the site, and then I'll go into the history of Tesla.
You know, the one thing that comes up all the time whenever I tell people I'm working with the Tesla Science Center, they immediately go to the car, right?
Sure.
So everyone says, oh, you're working with the car company? No. Why don't you tell us about Nikola Tesla and then tell us.
So Tesla did invent the rotating magnetic field motor, the AC motor that happens to be in the Tesla car. And that's why the original founders of the Tesla Motor Company named it Tesla. And that, you know, so, but he invented that motor in the late 1880s, and it helped commercialize the transmission and distribution system that we currently enjoy and use for our electricity.
That's amazing.
And it enabled many of the motors that run off of AC electric that are in our homes, you know, fans that are spinning in our homes, or the refrigerator, or all of these items were enabled by Tesla's inventions, and people don't know who he was.
In the
1880s. Not that he envisioned every use of it, but he knew. So I'll back up for a second. Nikola Tesla worked for Thomas Edison's company, but he worked in Paris. He's an Eastern European by descent. He was born in what is now Croatia, but it was the Austro-Hungarian Empire at the time. He was of Serbian descent. And he was a European. So he worked in Paris, and the Edison company realized he's a genius, and Thomas Edison needed him to work directly under him in New York City to unlock the issues Thomas Edison was having with electricity.
So actually, this is where the famous current wars come into play, right? We hear so much about, you know, the current wars. There's movies made about it. So this is what you're talking about right now is Nikola Tesla versus Edison. The current war is coming to life.
Absolutely.
In New York. Okay.
Absolutely. And so he comes to work for Thomas Edison. He's promised supposedly $50,000 to unlock the issues they were having with direct current. That's like $10 million in today's money. Tesla works 20-hour days, which was not only for the money, that's just the way he operated. And he unlocked those issues. But the whole time, he was begging Thomas Edison, forget direct current electricity. I know how to do alternating current. It'll go farther. It'll help more people. It'll change people's lives. Edison did not want to switch gears because he was so far invested in direct current. He ended up not paying Tesla the $50,000. He said, that was like a joke. You don't understand. You know, it was lost in translation. Tesla quits. He ends up starting the Tesla electric company. And eventually gets bought out by Westinghouse, and they end up together locked in the battle, AC versus DC, Tesla versus Edison, or Westinghouse versus Edison. This is one of the more remarkable stories about Tesla. So he had over 300 patents. He invented speedometer, tachometer, neon lighting, fluorescent lighting, early forms of X-ray, early forms of radio, remote control. But this story about the current wars, it really highlights what he was about, because he had a very lucrative agreement and royalty agreement with Westinghouse. It was actually too lucrative, and it was causing Westinghouse to have a difficulty raising capital to compete with Edison in the 1880s recession. So Tesla, instead of just renegotiating that contract, he rips it up.
And he rips it up.
He ripped it up. So he was a billionaire on paper, and then he had almost nothing as a result of ripping up that royalty contract, at least in terms of income from these inventions.
Why would he do that?
Because if he felt that if he made it really economical for Westinghouse to go and compete with Edison, Westinghouse would win. And why he felt that was important was direct current electricity at that time under Edison's inventions only went a mile or two. So rich people like J.P. Morgan would have a coal-fired power plant in their backyard, essentially, and that neighborhood would have electricity, and the masses would be left in the dark for another 50, 60 years.
So his mission was to make this free, or electricity,
well,
AC.
He eventually got there, but what he was just trying to do is, you got to understand, it was still kind of the dark ages in that people were reading by candlelight at night. There were no radios. That it was just a different time in the late 1880s. But they all knew that technology was going to lift them up. And Tesla felt that if he can make electricity available to the masses, they would get home from work, they'd be able to turn a light on, they'd be able to study, they'd be able to educate themselves, they'd lift themselves up.
So he was doing it for the good of humanity.
Humanity. That's all it was about. He knew that if he got electricity, as far as the factories and his invention, the motors, the AC motors, it would make work life easier. He would just make humanity, he would lift up humanity.
I mean, that's amazing because I consider myself fairly educated, right? I'm a graduate, college degree. And in all of my textbooks, I don't ever remember seeing anything about Nikola Tesla.
So I don't, I remember
kind
Edison.
Kind of like the unsung hero. I mean, I saw Edison, I learned about Edison, I learned about Westinghouse. Never came across Nikola Tesla whatsoever. And that is a shame.
I live three houses. I live in Shoreham. I live three houses away from where Tesla lived when he was here on Long Island. I live about, I would say 10 blocks, but at the end of our major thoroughfare into our village is Tesla's lab. I had no idea who he was. The community came to me. I used to serve in the New York State Legislature and my community. And community members came to me and said, we need to save this lab. And they were working on saving it for years, decades. And I had no idea what they were talking about. They had to educate me. Once I realized the significance Tesla had on our lives and that he was almost forgotten, except for the fact that a car company was just coming about at that time. This was about 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
And there was a Tesla band in the 80s that had a couple of hit songs that I listened to, who are getting more involved, by the way, and want to help us.
Well, that's good news.
I didn't know about Tesla. So once I knew about Tesla, I became an evangelist. And that's kind of what happens when people realize the impact he's had on our lives, his amazing story. They want to be part of the mission of telling his story accurately. There's a lot of garbage out there about Tesla, too. His eccentricities and But I think from the research I'm doing, when you look at Tesla in his 80s, which 80s was really old in the 1920s and 30s and 40s. He became a bit of an odd duck. But if you look at Tesla in his prime, nobody could touch him.
Right. So you mentioned the name J.P. Morgan earlier, and you also mentioned now that there's a house where Tesla used to live in Rocky Point or Shoreham, Waiting River. And there's his last lab, I believe, in Shoreham, Waiting River. So now we know. So now we know about Westinghouse, and we understand that Westinghouse won, right? Because that's the electric we have in our house today.
Tesla and Westinghouse, when they teamed up together, they did win that battle. Okay. So the battle was who can electrify more downtowns quicker. And economically, so that it becomes the standard. So if you were going to go with direct current, then you're going to be the odd city that can't get parts. And that's what happened. Everybody started going with alternating current and AC. At the same time, before I get to Morgan, at the same time, they unlocked the power of Niagara Falls. Tesla's vision was clean power instead of using coal-fired power plants, using renewable energy and powering the entire Northeast seaboard with this very efficient system that he invented that we basically still use today. It hasn't changed much. Go talk to the line workers that are working, and they say, thank you, Nikola Tesla, for the job you created for me.
That's unbelievable. That is really an unbelievable story. So
now to Morgan. I know you wanted to go to Morgan.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear the whole story, you know.
So he becomes the man about town. Okay. After winning this AC/DC battle, and he lives at the Waldorf Astoria at the time. He's friends with Jacob Astor, the owner of the Astoria, but a famed New York socialite. Friends with J.P. Morgan, friends with Mark Twain, Stanford White. Basically the who's who of New York City. Tesla was in that circle. They dined every night at the Waldorf Astoria. So Morgan funds the most important inventor of their time, or one of the most important. Obviously, we're not downplaying Edison. He's great. Marconi sure. and others.
Right.
But Tesla is a celebrated man at this time as everything's getting electrified. And he's mysterious. So Morgan funds him to do radio transmission to Europe, figuring that they can trade on the New York City ticker tape if they had that information almost instantaneously when Morgan's,
amazing.
In London.
Right. What a vision that is.
It's the high-frequency traders of their day.
Sure.
But so they buy this land out in what is now called Shoreham. It was Warden Cliff at the time. And it was 2,000 acres owned by James Warden, who envisioned he wanted to attract scientists, Wall Street finance folks, and artists to this enclave, which is now Shoreham. And there's a little bit of that legacy in Shoreham. If you see some of those older houses and you see the families that still live there from that time, it's a storied history. So Morgan funds him to do radio transmission to Europe, and they build this lab. Stanford White builds it. He's the famed architect from that built Madison Square Garden at the time. And
an amazing architect.
Amazing architect. So Marconi is competing with Tesla. He's building a radio tower in Babylon. Tesla does not see him as competition. He's doing a lower level radio. Tesla was doing two-way radio, multiple bandwidth channels.
Again, another vision.
Another vision. And he felt he could do wireless transmission of electricity. So I will end it with this, and we can pick it up potentially at the next show. Marconi gets the first shot off of a low-level radio transmission to Europe. All the funding and money starts following him. And so, my other hat, I'm a commercialization expert. I start tech companies. It's right. all about hitting right. milestones. Right. And sometimes you need a CTO like Tesla or a technologist, and you need a CEO to say, hey, we need to hit a milestone. When he was partnering with Morgan, he didn't have that CEO saying, hit the milestone. He was left to his own devices. He kept reiterating. So he didn't see that Marconi was a problem.
Right.
But Morgan calls him on the carpet and says, what happened? And Tesla starts talking about wireless transmission of electricity. Morgan wanted none of it, defunded him. And that was the beginning of the end of this property.
So all of this happened in Shoreham Wading River. And this is where sort of the base of his tower, right? Wireless tower for this transmission that he was creating. Exists.
That's right.
So this is honestly sacred ground to me.
That's right.
And I think every scientist or anyone who has any appreciation for invention and innovation would really see this as a temple to tech.
Right.
So what we're doing here is we're trying to build a science center. Why don't you take us through a little bit of your vision? We have, I believe, 1 minute left for you to explain to the audience here what we're doing out in
Tesla Wading was River. Almost forgotten, and the lab was almost demolished just a few years ago. There was a strong community group trying to save it. I was able to cobble together some state grant funding, but it needed a match, and that's where magic happened. And I'm going to end it with this. The world came together and did a world record-breaking crowdfund, 1.4 million, 6 weeks, 108 countries, 33,000 donors. That crowd has grown to 75,000 people worldwide. The world is watching. And the goal is to build a museum dedicated to Nikola Tesla, a science center that benefits all of Long Island and the New York metro area, and a business accelerator that helps the Teslas of today commercialize the technologies of tomorrow.
All right, Long Island. So you're hearing it right now from Mark Alessi. We're building a temple to tech out in Shoreham Wading River. We need you involved. So go to teslasciencecenter.org. Get in from the ground up today. Again, that's teslasciencecenter.org. And we'll be back with more Mark Alessi next week. Thank you for tuning in.
Tesla's Temple to Tech airs Sunday mornings at 8:45 right here on 1100 WHLI. Or go to WHLI.com/Tesla for podcast library.